This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited today to introduce, from Wichita Falls, Texas, Pastor Eugene Bullard. Now here's Pastor Bullard.
Hello, this is Eugene and Kathy Bullard of Generation Pray, a ministry dedicated to the empowering of the church to enlist the lost, disciple the nations, and proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ through the preaching of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We are so proud to be a part of the BPN Radio Network with our partners and mentors, Dale and Jean Gentry. Now, here is Eugene Bullard. What a joy it is to be with you today. Hello, this is Eugene Bullard, and the title of the message today is Thy Spirit is Good. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 143, verse 10. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. It was July 1973. I was about 17 years old, and I was in a church camp near Davis, Oklahoma, in the Arbuckle Mountains. The church camp was called False Creek, and it was a large Baptist encampment in southern Oklahoma. At that time, it was the largest Christian camp in the world, and they met about 5 or 6 weeks out of the summer, normally in July and August. And I was there as a counselor with my dad's church, and one of my friends was the music pastor at another church, and so he and his youth pastor invited me to come and give a devotion at the camp at night before the campers went to bed. You have to realize this is in the dead of summer. It is hot. And at this Baptist campment called False Creek Baptist Assembly, I had attended as a kid. Now I'm a teenager. And what we did is we got there on Monday and kind of unpacked. And then on Tuesday morning, we met at a big open-air tabernacle. About 5,000 campers, about 5,000 students attended. And we had a morning service. And then we broke and we went into pavilions, kind of like gazebos. And their youth pastors from all over the state of Oklahoma taught for 45 minutes, two sessions. Then we had about a 15-minute break. Then we met back at the tabernacle at 11 o'clock. And we had another service. And then at noon, we had lunch. And then all afternoon, we did activities, played softball and threw horseshoes and swimming and hiking and stuff like that. Then at 7 o'clock at night, we all gathered back at the tabernacle, which was an open-air facility with a roof and a stage and wooden benches. Some of the best preaching in the world went on there. This was in 1973, and, man, I remember it vividly. It was about 9 o'clock after the service on Thursday night, and I was preparing for this devotion, so I grabbed my guitar. I kind of swung it over my shoulder and sauntered across this campground to meet with these students in this cabin. And the cabins were situated such that normally what they was three different compartments. In the middle was the cafeteria, and that's where they ate and had devotions and played games. And then on one side of the cafeteria were the girls' quarters, and the other side of the cafeteria were the boys' quarters. So it was late at night, 9 o'clock, and I was praying as I walked across that campground, asked the Lord to share with, to give me what to share. And sure enough, he gave me something. I got there. Of course, these kids had been up since 6 o'clock, 6:30 that morning, and you know, they had played all day, and so they're kind of not really into a devotion like, and they're kind of pushing each other and shoving and giggling and whatever. And so I got up to with my guitar, and the Lord gave me this song to sing. Now, if you're 40 years or younger, you may not remember this artist. His name was Mac Davis, and he had a song called I Believe in Music, I Believe in Love. Well, some of us Christian young people, we had taken that song, changed the words, and we had turned it into a song called I Believe in Jesus, I Believe in Love. And so I got up to sing this song before my devotion, and I started singing, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in love. I Jesus, and I believe in love. Jesus is love, and love is Jesus, if you know just what I mean. People loving Jesus just gotta be the happiest people I've ever seen. So clap your hands, stomp your feet, and beat on your tambourine. Lift your voices to the sky, God loves to hear you sing. I believe in Jesus. And that's when it happened. All of a sudden, everyone got still. And I looked toward the back of the cafeteria where the youth pastor was, and I saw him there with tears running down his cheeks. And then I looked over to the right, and there was a blonde-headed girl, and her shoulders started to shake, and she started weeping. Friends, what had happened is a divine presence had entered into that cafeteria, and he actually took over. And people began weeping and crying, and they began running up to each other and hugging each other and telling them, I'm sorry that I acted the way I did. Even adults were moved and were weeping and crying and emotional as this divine presence saturated every cell of that atmosphere. You know, I don't even remember if I got to give my devotion or not, but it was like liquid love came down. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit. I will never forget it. As I got my guitar, put it on my shoulder, and began wandering back across the campground, after that experience, I said to myself, Eugene, I want to experience something like that the rest of my life. I don't want plastic Christianity. I don't want just Sunday Christianity. I want the living, powerful, loving presence of the Spirit of God to be with me, and I want to experience Him the rest of my life. And so, friend, today I want to speak with you out of Psalms 143, Thy Spirit is good. And my first point is that Thy Spirit is good because we are joined to the Spirit. You see, when a person repents of their sins and they call upon Jesus Christ, they're born again. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, you become a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. In John 3:6, Jesus said that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. Genesis 1:26 says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. God made man a spiritual being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you are joined to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moves into your dead human spirit. Ephesians 2:1 says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. That's why you got to be born again. That's why you got to be born from above. That's why you got to be born of the Spirit. When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and you hear that Jesus loved you and died for you and shed His blood for you and suffered for you and went to the grave for you, into the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and then rose again for your sins, and that you can have eternal life. You can believe in Him. You can trust in Him. You can invite Him into your heart. You can give your life to Him, and you can be born again. You can be made a new creation. The word there, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. That word joined is the Greek word kolao, and it means to glue together, to cement, to fasten together, to cleave, to join oneself to something. And what happens is when you repent of your sin and you call Jesus as Lord and you receive Him as your Lord and your Master and your Savior, the Spirit of God moves in into where your dead human spirit was, and He joins Himself to your dead human spirit, and you become alive. You're born again. Life comes and you're joined to the Lord. Now, it's very interesting in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul is trying to correct a era in the Corinthian church, and he's talking about sexual purity. He's talking about when a person joins himself to another person sexually, they're one with them. He that is joined to a harlot is one with a harlot. And he's talking about that we should be pure in our lives and pure in our families and pure in our sexuality. And right in the middle of this dissertation on sexual purity, the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, writes this verse, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And it's a beautiful picture of being joined to the Lord. We know that when a husband and a wife join together in marriage, the Bible says they're one flesh. Well, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you're joined to the Lord, when you're joined to the Spirit, you become one with him. And he is you, and he is with you, and he is joined to you, and spiritually you're one with Christ. What a great thing that is. I know that many people in our churches today claim to be Christians. You know, you can claim to be Christians by praying a prayer and being baptized, but I'm telling you, there's a difference in that and in being joined to the Lord spiritually through the new birth. Let me ask you today, have you been born again? I love the Spirit of God, and I want the Spirit of God to move in my life because I am joined to the Spirit of God. Number two, we are led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Oh, what a privilege it is to be born of the Spirit. But God does not bring us into the family. He does not give us a new birth and then just go off and leave us. No, we are to be led by the Spirit. In every area of our life, we have the opportunity to be led by the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. My wife is a great example of someone who is led by the Spirit. She's learned how to listen to him. She's learned how to ask him questions and hear his voice. And the other day I had misplaced my iPad. And I looked all over, couldn't find it. And so Kathy has a really unique relationship with the Holy Spirit. She could lose her keys and misplace them and say, Holy Spirit, where's my keys? And he'll tell her where they are. And so here I am, this man of great of faith and power, really paste and flour. And so I come to Kathy and I said, Kathy, would you ask the Holy Spirit where my iPad is? And so she did. And within 2 or 3 minutes, she walked into our front room and there was a bag of charcoal briquettes sitting there that I had used. And I should have put them up, but I didn't. They were sitting by the door. So she picked them up and she walked to our game room, which was a garage. We turned into a game room. And set that package of briquettes down, and the Holy Spirit said, look up. And she looked up, and across the room, sitting on the corner of a ping pong table, was my iPad. So within 3 or 4 minutes, she was led by the Spirit of God to find my iPad. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God wants to lead you in every area of your life. You don't have to guess at what job you're going to go to. You don't have to guess at what college you're going to attend. You don't have to guess at who you're going to marry. Those that are led by the Lord, the Spirit of God can direct you. Well, how does the Spirit of God direct you, Brother Eugene? Well, Proverbs 20:27 gives us a hint. It tells us how that happens. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Psalms 18:28 says, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord God will enlighten my darkness. So how does the Lord speak through us? He speaks through us through our spirit. As our spirit is joined to the Lord, the Holy Spirit is there to direct you, to give you impressions, to give you thoughts, to give you words. It's like a light bulb. When you turn on the electricity, the light bulb becomes full of the presence of that light. The scripture says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In today's vernacular, we'd say the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So God fills our spirit with light. He fills our spirit with direction. Psalms 32:8 says, I will teach thee and instruct thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, and he is speaking to you, but we have to develop an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. The Holy Spirit is always speaking, but do you have an ear to hear? 7 times in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And so many times, those thoughts and impressions that you think are just you, they are you. You're the reborn you. They're the spiritual you. They're your spirit receiving information and instruction from the Holy Spirit. And if you will listen to that, and if you will go with that, then the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you. He'll give you an impression. He gives you thoughts. He even will give you words if you'll listen to him. Oh, I pray today that you will develop in your own life to be led by the Spirit of God. Ask him to lead you. Get quiet. Get your Bible out. Begin to read it. If you have a spiritual language, if you speak in a spiritual language, if you speak in other tongues, begin to pray in other tongues and get quiet before the Lord. And then listen as he speaks to your spirit. Because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Your spirit is the light bulb. It's the means by which God brings light and direction to your life. He speaks to us through our spirit. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice." We hear his voice through the voice of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of God impresses us and speaks to us. And then not only do I love the Holy Spirit and believe, not only is the Holy Spirit good because I am joined to him, not only because I'm led by the Spirit, but number three, because we are filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:17 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The word "filled" in the Greek is the word pleroo, and it means to fill to the full, to render full, to be complete. So we should have a life style of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, my friend, have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Are you joined to the Spirit? Do you know that you know that you're saved? Are you led by the Spirit? Do you let the Holy Spirit speak to you? And do you respond to him? And does he lead you every day in those decisions of life? And then number three, have you been filled with the Spirit of God? You say, "Brother Eugene, I think I've been filled with the Spirit of God." Well, let me tell you that the Bible is very certain about what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 41, verse 42, and then in Luke chapter 1, verse 67, if you have your Bible, turn there with me. I'll be reading out of the King James Bible, Luke chapter 1, verse 41. This is the instance where Mary has visited Elizabeth and Zechariah, and she is pregnant with the Lord, and she's visiting Mary. And look at verse 41, Luke 1, 41. And here's what the scripture says. "And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice." One of the ways that you know that you've been filled with the Spirit is if you have the evidence. The evidence of being filled with the Spirit is just not feeling good and feeling the presence. It's not having goose pimples or goosebumps, and it's not jumping over a pew or rolling in the floor. The evidence of being filled with the Spirit is speaking. Notice it says in Ephesians 5:17, "Be not drunk when wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And verse 18 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." And in Luke 1:41, it says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice. Now look at verse 67. This is Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And it says, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied," saying, what did he do? He began to speak when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is speaking. It's not, like I said, jumping up and down and just feeling good and feeling goosebumps or whatever. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. verse 4, and we'll read again about the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus has returned to heaven. He's told the disciples to stay in Jerusalem till they be filled with power from on high. It's the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How do you know that you've been filled with the Holy Spirit? If you begin to speak. I'm telling you, friends, there are people today that say they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it seems like they got lockjaw. They are just not speaking out the Word of God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 8. We read again about the Spirit of God as He comes upon the disciples as they're filled with the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if ye this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to y'all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he stand before you made whole." Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said. So there we have another instance of someone filled with the Spirit of God. And what did they do? They spoke. Now look at chapter 4, verse 31. This is after they had been punished. They were released, the disciples. Verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she prophesied. Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he spoke out in a loud voice. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he spake. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake with other tongues. Acts 4, 31, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let me tell you, friends, if and when you are filled with the Spirit of the living God, you will speak the word of God. You will speak the things of God. You may prophesy. You may speak in tongues, but you will speak the word of God with boldness. The word of God, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, when He fills your spirit and your soul, and you begin to overflow with the goodness of God, it's going to come out of your mouth. People hear the word of God and are saved by people that are filled with the word of Holy Ghost and are speaking the word of God with boldness. Turn with me now to Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. And this is about Stephen, as he was preaching to the Sanhedrin. In verse 54, it says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly to heaven, saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said," and he, being full of the Holy Ghost, said. Friend, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to speak for God. You're going to speak the things of God. You're going to prophesy. You're going to speak in tongues. You're going to speak the word of God with boldness. The Holy Spirit will use you in many ways. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 44. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only are we joined to the Holy Spirit and born again by Him, by the Spirit of God in the new birth, not only are we led by the Spirit of God in every day as we listen to Him, but we are filled with the Spirit of God. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we speak the things of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 44, it says, "When Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word." Verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." The Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in tongues, and they magnified God. Friend, what a blessing it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, so many Christians live their life without being filled with the Spirit of God. My friend, if you will hunger and thirst, God will fill you with righteousness. If you'll ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, He'll do it. What is keeping you, friend, from being filled with the Spirit of God? Even this day, won't you pray and ask God to fill you and give you the words to speak, supernatural words, spiritual words, words of boldness, words of prophecy. Acts chapter 13, verse 9, we're looking at references to people that were filled with the Holy Spirit and what happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, Paul, the apostle, who was later called Saul, he and Barnabas are on a missionary journey, and they're being opposed by this guy by the name of Sergius Paulus, and Elymas, a sorcerer, and he was a Jew, and his name was Bar-Jesus, but he's also called Elymas, the sorcerer, and Paul, he's opposing the gospel, and Paul looks on him, filled with the Holy Ghost, and said, you see, friends, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will speak the things of God. Now, finally, let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Friend, when the Spirit of God comes upon you and fills you, you will speak the Word of God. You will speak the great things of God. You will speak in another language, of a spiritual language. You will prophesy. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. And that's what we need today. We need people, Christian people, that are speaking what the Spirit of God tells them to speak. So it's been a great privilege to be with you today. It's been a great privilege to share with you out of Psalms 143, verse 10, thy spirit is good. We've looked at that the Spirit is good because we're joined to the Spirit. We're born again by the Spirit of God. We've looked that the Spirit is good because we're joined to the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but we are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then we've looked at being filled with the Holy Spirit. Friend, today, before I close out, I want to ask you, have you truly been born by the Spirit of God? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, test yourselves, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith or whether or not you be unqualified. So today, if you've never had the opportunity to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to ask you, are you 100% sure that you've been born again? Do you know that you know that you're saved? Because in 1 John chapter 5, it says, this is the record that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Today, friend, you can know that you have eternal life. You don't have to be 95% sure or 99% sure. I'm telling you, you can be 100% sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. If you've not yet made Jesus the Lord of your life, I invite you to turn from your unbelief, turn to Jesus, and call on him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So would you pray this prayer with me by trusting in the Lord with all your heart? Now, you could say these words and not mean them, but if you trust in him with all your heart, and you'll pray this prayer with me on the authority of God's word, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving me eternal life. I ask you now, Father, to cleanse me of my sins, come into my heart, and I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I promise to walk with him from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Thank you for joining us at Generation Pray. To contact us, write Generation Pray, P.O. Box 825, Holiday, Texas 76366. Our email is generationpray@yahoo.com. Facebook is Melvin Eugene Bullard. All gifts are tax deductible.
You have been listening to Pastor Eugene Bullard on BPN Radio, Preaching Sunday. Thank you for listening today. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com, or you can visit us on bpnradio.com. Thank you. Have a good day.